97.9 FM, WCHL, and the UNC College of Journalism and Mass Communication presents Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. Sports Focus is dedicated to in-depth examinations of issues of overarching importance in the sports world. Each week, we'll discuss problems and look for solutions to problems in professional, collegiate, and amateur sports. From Carroll Hall on the UNC campus, here's your host, journalism professor Charlie Tuggle.
Welcome to Sports Focus. Our topic today, the ongoing controversy surrounding UNC's academic scandal. Our guest, Jay Smith, history professor at Carolina and one of the most outspoken critics of the university's handling of the issue. Jay, thanks for being with us. Of course, when Rashad McCants came out and said, I took fake classes at Carolina. Tutors wrote my papers. That's another peak, if you will, in this cycle of peaks and valleys that this story, this issue has followed. Your thoughts about McCants?
Well, my first thought about McCants was that we should all be grateful to him because he showed a lot of courage in coming out and talking candidly about his own academic experiences in a way that inevitably cast a bad light on the basketball program and his former coaches and teammates. He obviously was taking a big risk by doing that. And I feel very grateful to him for being the first very high-profile athlete from either the basketball or football teams to step forward and basically offer a confession about his own academic experiences. It's very eye-opening.
Now, others have said he's a loose cannon. He has some sort of vendetta against Roy Williams, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera.
Right, right.
Do you think he has an agenda?
Well, I mean, no more of an agenda than anyone else in this story. I mean, everybody has an agenda. But I think his first agenda, as he himself explained on Outside the Lines, the two times he appeared there, is to show that the system mistreats athletes in various ways, academically, financially, in all sorts of ways. And I thought he was actually quite careful not to, with the exception of his comments about Roy Williams, he was careful not to point the finger at individuals. He didn't name the tutors who helped him. He didn't even talk specifically about which teammates went over to the tutor's house to pick up papers. I think he was trying to make this a commentary about the system and the system as it has been manifested at UNC. But UNC, he said himself, it's not about UNC. It's not about him. It's about the system. And I think he really, I take him at his word. I think he genuinely wants to direct attention to the system and what it does to the educational experiences of athletes.
One of the things that I found interesting is that no one has, they have maybe said that he has an agenda, he's a loose cannon, but no one has come up against the accuracy or the reliability of that transcript.
Exactly.
And so we now have, three transcripts that show something.
Yes, right, exactly. I mean, the Julius Peppers transcript is kind of replicated, you might say, with the McCants transcript. That clearly, these courses were being used to pad GPAs, to relieve burdens from athletes for whatever reason, you know, whether it was because they needed the extra practice time or because they were weak students, we don't really know. But if you look at the pattern of how they did semester to semester and which kinds of courses, you can see that academic counselors were putting them in these paper classes or independent studies classes, which are effectively paper classes, in order to bail them out. And there's just no getting around that. So his basic, McCants' basic claims, I took paper classes, I was taken care of, I didn't have to do any work, I was kept eligible this way, are pretty much irrefutable, seems to me. The transcript proves it. And so those who have criticized him, the players in particular who have criticized him, it seems to me that's incumbent upon them to show us what they've got. Let us see what their experience was.
Let's look at some of those players. They showed up for an interview that Roy Williams had with ESPN, but they themselves did not speak.
Yes.
I find that curious.
I do, too. It's as though they didn't want to put themselves in a position to utter a misstatement or to reveal something inadvertently. They preferred just to show their support for the coach, which you can understand. I'm sure they're loyal to him. Why wouldn't they be? But, yeah, the fact that they weren't willing to talk about their experiences tells us something, it seems to me.
On this show before, I have asked for those athletes to consider, I'm not making any demands, mm-hmm. although that has been interpreted, mm-hmm. I've been interpreted mm-hmm. as doing that, making no demands, but if you want to help us get to the bottom of it, why don't you voluntarily release your own transcripts?
Right.
The university, I think, is hiding behind FERPA, but if the student athlete voluntarily releases, mm-hmm. FERPA, it's not an issue.
That's right. They could step forward and either corroborate or refute what McCants has said. Let us see if their course itineraries were similar to Rashad McCants. If they were, it seems to me they have some explaining to do. If not, McCants has some explaining to do. Or you know, maybe this was specific to Rashad McCants. I really doubt that. But they could show us one way or another.
And again, I've not heard anyone who's come out and said the transcript that ESPN showed for McCants is fabricated, yeah. It's false. The Julius Peppers transcript is false. That's not his transcript. It seems that by not saying anything, we are admitting mm-hmm. that is accurate.
Yeah, that's the way I read it. They have not tried to go after the authenticity of the transcript. So that I agree. That is a tacit admission.
And Jay, we're just about to the end of our first segment, but in our next segment, I want to talk about people speaking out and people not speaking out. And what we've seen and what we haven't seen and what we've heard from members of the faculty and how the university community is approaching this story. So right. Sports Focus will return right after this.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now back to the show on 97.9 FM WCHL.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking about the ongoing controversy surrounding UNC's academic scandal. It's been labeled, Jay Smith, our guest today, history professor, has been labeled an academic scandal. That seems curious as well.
Yes, it does. It sure does. Given that 45% of the students who enrolled in these fraudulent or defective academic courses were athletes.
And in individual classes, up to 100%.
Yeah, right. Given that, and given their low percentage of the student body, it seems pretty obvious that this is both an athletic and an academic scandal. I would not deny that it's an academic scandal, but it's also athletic. There's no way around that.
I want to jump into this new book that's come out, Tarnished Heels. You're mentioned several times in this book, and what it is basically is a compilation of media reports of everything that's happened in the past 4 years or so, and to see it all in one place, that's, mm-hmm. well, that's pretty eye-popping. Yet, there are some issues, I think, with the book, and one is that you're mentioned quite often, yet you were never interviewed directly by the author of the book. Again, a curious thing.
Yeah, that is true. Apparently, the author was very determined to maintain his anonymity, and for that reason, I presume, did not want to meet personally with the people he wrote about in the book. It is a little curious, but from what I've read of it, I've made it about halfway through. It certainly seems like an accurate chronicle. I don't think he misrepresents anything. I've only made it halfway through, but seems accurate. But I would have been happy to talk to him if he had called on me. I'm not sure what to say about that.
Mm-hmm. I feel like if you're calling on someone to be forthright about their connections, and he does mm-hmm. do that in the book,
yeah.
This person at UNC knows this person at the NC2A, are they right. in cahoots somehow?
Right.
That's fine. If you're calling on them to be transparent, why are you not being transparent?
Right.
This guy's using a pseudonym.
Yeah.
And I'm not diminishing the accuracy of mm-hmm. what's in the book, because mm-hmm. mostly it's from media reports.
Mm-hmm.
But why not tell us who you are?
Right. Yeah, it's a very good question. I don't really have an answer for it, except that I gather that he felt, or this person felt, that his job could be in jeopardy if he revealed where he was, where he's doing his writing. I, of course, I don't know why that would be. I don't know where he is, so I can't really speculate about why he might be threatened or why his job could be threatened. But I gather that that was the case. And so, who are we to second guess him, I suppose, on that?
Just because we in the journalism field love to conjecture about these kind of things, he does mention Wolfpack.com quite a bit. And it certainly gives rise to the idea that he's somehow connected to NC State. If we knew he was connected to NC State, we might, we being many in the University of North Carolina community, would be very willing to dismiss everything he says.
So,
I can understand that. But I really have difficulty with someone saying, you need to be transparent, but I'm not going to be transparent.
I don't disagree with that. Yeah, I don't disagree. And it could be that he's that there is some sort of association with NC State or some other rival institution that he wants to hide. That could be it. Yeah.
Jay, when you start to speak out, and you mentioned that back when you first came to Carolina, the faculty speaking out was a common thing. And yet our faculty has been brought to task for not speaking out, not being more vocal about this situation that we're going through. But do you hear from people off the grid, not in the public discourse, but off the grid, who say, you know what, this is a problem, we need to get to the bottom of it, thank you for speaking out? What sort of stuff are you hearing?
I do hear quite a bit of that, actually. When I am contacted, or when someone approaches me on campus, it is almost never to offer a word of criticism or to scold me or to request that I keep quiet for a change. On the contrary, it is to offer support, to cheer me on, to tell me to keep it up. And so I'm not sure what to read into that, honestly. I have a lot of friends among the quiet faculty on this campus, and I want to be careful not to impugn them in any way. I think there are lots and lots of complicated reasons why people are inclined to stay on the sidelines and not speak out. But I have just felt all along that it's the obligation of a responsible faculty member to speak out when he sees his leaders letting down the institution, and that's how I felt all along. That apart from the specific errors or wrongdoings in the academic department in question or in the athletic side, whatever the specific wrongdoings, the institution has just not been forthcoming. Has not been transparent. Has not shared with the community its suppositions about why this stuff happened, who exactly was involved, why it was allowed to go on so long. Well, we've had to guess for 4 years now.
And when there's a vacuum of information, what fills that vacuum?
Yeah, speculation.
Guesses,
yeah,
speculation.
Right. Yeah.
Conspiracy theory.
Conspiracy theory. Sure. Right. Right. And it has not been helpful to the institution for our leaders to be playing it so close to the vest for 4 years solid now.
We'll return to our discussion right after this.
You're listening to Sports Focus with Charlie Tuggle. And now, back to the show on 97.9 FM, WCHL.
Welcome back to Sports Focus. We're talking about UNC's ongoing academic scandal with Jay Smith, a history professor here at the university. Jay, within the past week, those of us on faculty have received from the Faculty Athletics Committee an email saying, we have heard dismay from our colleagues about past unethical practices, things that have been documented in the Harlan Andrews, the Faculty Executive Committee, and the Martin reports. Right. So not wild speculation, stuff that has been laid out in the three previous reports. We want to build a fully transparent relationship between athletics and academics. This is coming from the Faculty Athletics Committee. So apparently these three studies that we've done so far have not been adequate.
Right.
That we are now in the Weinstein investigation.
Right, right. Yes, yes.
Why? Why didn't we get it right the first time?
Well, I mean, I think the shortcomings of each of those reports are particular to the report. So, the Martin report, for example, was flawed for very particular reasons. I mean, I think in that case, Jim Martin just didn't talk to athletics people. He didn't talk to the academic counselors at length, it seems to me. He didn't talk to any basketball players, didn't talk to basketball coaches, very few football players. He didn't look at student transcripts. The sorts of things that he needed to see in order to have the patterns exposed to him, he didn't even bother looking at. So that, to me, that was the big problem with the Martin report. He just didn't look in the right places. And I speculate that this is because he was basically nudged away from those places, that people were telling him, you want to look over here, not over there, and he followed those recommendations.
And others have said he's not really an investigator. That's not his background.
He's not an investigator. He had very little staff support, actually. I mean, the people who were helping him were academic auditors who do number crunching, but they don't know how to investigate motives and the sorts of social networks that are involved in corrupt practices. So yeah, it was just he was hobbled from the beginning, and so that's why that report was flawed. The others were not exactly flawed. It's just that they were so partial. They were looking at specific processes or specific problems and not the larger picture. So that's why here we are 4 years later, and we have to have another investigation.
We mentioned earlier about people who are talking to you off the grid. When you start to report about these things or come forward with concerns about these things, people do come up, as they have with me,
mm-hmm.
and said, oh my gosh, you know, let me tell you about this. And I do want to give credit to the university, because it looks like we have put in some policies and procedures that going forward will help us.
I agree.
I don't think we've yet dealt with what happened in the past, mm-hmm. and that's the point that we're at now.
Mm-hmm.
So I think we're changing some policies and procedures, but changing the culture is going to be another matter.
Right.
Within the past 6 months, one of my students tells me that a revenue athlete has asked my student to write a paper. Within the past year or so, actually it might have been 2 years, someone who worked as a mentor in a class that was popular with athletes, it wasn't 100%, but maybe mm-hmm. 50% athletes, they were not interested. They were disrespectful. The organizers would build meetings and programs around their schedules, and they still wouldn't show.
Huh.
And this is not in the Rashawn McCants era. This mm-hmm. is a year or two ago.
Right. Yeah.
So
yeah.
Changing the culture, I think, is the big part of what we're going to have to do here.
I agree. And what has been so frustrating about the work that our colleagues have done on the campus over the past couple of years, even though much of it is good work, is that they have not really identified what that culture is. It's as though the big picture, what the culture is and what about the culture needs to be changed, has been left off the table. Instead, the focus has been on very particular aspects of the scandal, very particular policies or procedures that clearly needed some tinkering. The whole independent studies business, for example, clearly needed to be revised. But the larger culture has been left in the dark, I would say. And that's why the testimony of people like Rashawn McCants is so valuable, because Rashawn McCants' experience speaks to the existence of a culture, a culture of corner cutting, of eroding standards, of getting around standards. And you know, until the university addresses that culture and talks openly about how we're going to go about changing it, I think we're all going to be frustrated.
That does it for this edition of Sports Focus. Thanks to our guest, Jay Smith. Thanks also to engineer Gary Kirk. And thanks to you for listening. Cheers.
Thanks to Richard Southall, Mark Nagel, and Deborah Southall of the College Sport Research Institute at the University of South Carolina for their research and guidance, and for access to CSRI's international network of sources. Sports Focus is a production of UNC's College of Journalism and Mass Communication.